Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And every Monday, you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The minute you're passionate about something, you have a halo effect. Everything seems great.
Love so, is blind. Yeah. Passion is blind too. Uh-huh.
Yo, good one. Yeah,
it's important that TikTok viral at the you... Welcome back to another episode of Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
Hi, my name is Eric, Mr. Positivity.
And I'm Dawn, SG Budget Babe.
Yeah, finally we are back again.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been so long since you recorded,
like a long
right?
Time.
Yeah, and so much backlash, right?
A month and a half. The filial piety episode, right? Well, I had a lot of conversation with my parents and my friends. So, I mean, I think most people are still siding towards the, it doesn't matter whether your parents is good or bad, we would still have to do whatever it takes to help them. Mm. Yeah, so that seems to be the main narrative. So it was quite funny because initially that was my stand too, right?
Yes,
but then
yes.
After that,
You defended that stand
yeah,
very hard.
I defended very hard. But then I started to sway when I realized that, yeah, some parents just don't deserve it, right? Mm. So I had a caveat, but I think at least my friends, right? Their stand is regardless, it's a sacrifice. You don't keep count with your family. Mm. Yeah, so that's just
your friends very noble. I had people tell me like they feel very validated after our episode.
I need to make new friends.
It's like, yeah, I'm hurt.
But
I'm hurt.
You know, this is interesting, right? Don't you realize that sometimes we unconsciously end up in our own echo chamber?
It's true.
Yeah, it does.
It's true.
Right? Yeah. That like in my echo chamber, we tend to all resonate the same.
Yeah, that's why all your friends same view as you, ma.
No, but coming...
Until you have friends like
do
us.
Yes. No choice, Mr. Positivity, you know.
But it's so important for intellects and for discourse that you need to keep hanging out with people who disagree with you so that you can sharpen your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And I think also that's why, like, you know, people always say you don't know their story, you need to be kind. But it's very hard to really, like, do it because when you're in the echo chamber, you don't even realize that what you're saying is unkind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you may not even know what being kind looks like because you have no idea. You can't comprehend what else is different because you don't see it in your own circle. So you just assume everyone's like that, right?
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
So what changed actually for you?
No,
why filial piety has shifted?
I think I'm not as fixated about my thoughts. I'm willing to let it go.
Embrace new perspectives.
Yes. Embrace new because I tend to, you know, MBTI, you're judging your perceptive, right? That JMP, my J score is very high. That means everything must fit my worldview, otherwise I will discard. But right now, I think hanging out with you guys and doing this show, it makes me go like, oh wait. Yeah, why do I think that way? What's the assumption I make? And the world become bigger and I actually become more accepting.
So if a 大哥 like Mr. Positivity can change his worldview like that, all the more you guys should listen to Wise and Shine and introduce to your friends so they can also learn from broader perspectives. Hey, that's the name of the GP magazine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what GP?
This is GP magazine.
GP magazine called Broader Perspectives.
Oh my goodness, you know. But I think to caveat all that, right, we're not saying that whether we are right or wrong.
No, no, right.
We're
wrong,
really just kind of like expanding the discussion.
Yeah.
So that you get a wider view, right? And eventually, you gotta be at ease with your ideas, lor. Find that peace. I think that's
very
the
true. Goal, whatever that works for you.
Yeah, whatever that works for you. So today we're gonna talk a little bit about whatever works for you, right?
Ooh. Oh yeah, actually.
Yes. Good, thanks for the spiel. I love that. Huh? But today we're gonna take some time to talk a little bit about profession and passion, right? So essentially, the question here today is: should you change your passion to become your profession? Right? Or should you make your passion into a profession? Right? And it is a ongoing psyche and an ongoing kind of societal shift these days. Mm-hmm. You see more and more people trying to make their passion into like can make money, you know, mm-hmm. write for passion, you know, do content, become a craftsman again. There's so many things, right? And you sort of see a general shift in our societal ideals, right? And I do think a lot of people take this idea that, wow, if I can 探下 with what I love, that is the best place to be. Okay, my answer is no. but you know, that is something that people are thinking about. What do you guys think?
Oh, my immediate answer is it sounds like a good advice. But I mean, just imagine you're passionate about singing, but you actually suck at singing. And then how can you be a singer, right? So
that's why you're not singing.
There is a caveat.
That's why you're not singing.
Yeah, actually. There is a caveat, right? That yes, you can be passionate about something, but you have to also be good at it. Why? Because of the way the construct of our career, that people pay you money for something that they value, right? So passion is great. It makes work enjoyable, but it might not necessarily bring you the money because ultimately the amount of money you make is a market's feedback of your value. So if that passion doesn't solve a problem and you're not proficient at it, then the money that you make will still be limited.
I think it's very idealistic, right? Like everyone wants to be in a position whereby you love something, you know how to monetize it, and you get paid for doing it and you enjoy it. So all the more you continue to do it. And there's also like the logic around that, because when you enjoy something, you're more likely to stick with it. And as per our previous episode, you need to stick with something long enough to become a master at it.
Very true.
So if you don't have the passion for it, then it might be difficult to get there. But in reality, because ideals and reality are always in conflict, I think we also need to recognize, aside from fact that you might not be cut out for it. Sometimes like what you are passionate about may not be that easy to make money as well. And then if you are not as privileged to be in a position whereby money is no longer a problem, then you just need to be a bit more down to earth and acknowledge that I need to do something else to make the money come in and pay for my bills and all the commitments and liabilities that I'm responsible for. But then find another way to do your passion, either through a hobby or a side hustle. And I think that is a safer way. I say this because that's my background.
Exactly,
right?
That was what I was saying. That sounds like your story.
Have you ever seen this picture of three circles? One of the circle is passion circle. The other circle is competence circle. And the other circle is the world. And the sweet spot is right in the center where you're doing something that you're passionate about, you're competent, and the world needs it. And that's the sweet spot. If I'm not wrong, it's ikigai. There's this Japanese word called I-K-A-G-I, something like that. I might spell it wrongly.
Four circles, yeah.
Yeah, four circles. So I would say that if you're just purely passion, then you might not do well. But if that passion overlays with the competency and what the world needs at this point of time, then life is great.
We must also caveat that sometimes what the world needs and wants isn't very well paid.
Example?
Healthcare. Like we need healthcare, we value healthcare, and there are some people who are really passionate about it, social services as well. But unfortunately, these are not very high paying jobs. So at least not now. But maybe that might change because with AI being the
and with demand going up.
Yeah, we might see softer skills jobs like this become more and more valuable. We don't know, right?
Reggie?
No, actually, I wanted to take this position, but I realized everybody in the room take this position. So I am going to take another position.
Okay. What is it, your worldview?
So my worldview is, of course, I mean, if you're an avid listener of the podcast, you know, I'm generally quite practical in that sense, right? Where, you know, I want to make sure that it's broadly aligned. Okay, I want to take the path of least resistance as much as possible, right? If I think this is okay, the path is here, it's clearly charted, the world has shifted, then can I fit myself in it? If I can, okay, I double down and I go with it. But many a times, right, I am a bit fashion forward, like ahead of my time. Right, like mental health, I did a mental health startup about 5 years ago, before this whole thing was a thing. Right, so and like podcasting, I'm also like one of the earlier ones, you know, so I'm like a bit fashion forward for my time. But the world will shift, right? The world shifts. I mean, as you guys pointed out, right? And if you think about it, right, if I wasn't passionate about the things that I do, then I wouldn't stick around long enough for the world to shift. You know what I mean?
True.
But that is assuming that the world eventually shifts, lah.
Yeah.
Right.
You would have given up.
However, okay, let's talk about podcasting though. Yeah. Would you say that you were good at podcasting?
I don't know, leh. I think I'm quite good, lah.
You became better over the years, right?
Definitely.
You became sharper.
However, he wasn't a 1/10, you see, in podcasting. He was, I heard his first episode, right? Recorded in your room or something, I remember. And I don't think it was a 1 upon 10. It was at least a 6 or 7 upon 10 already.
Fairly competent already.
Mm-hmm. So
it's becoming competent to really competent or master of it.
Correct.
No, but okay. But the idea here is, if you are passionate about that one thing,
yeah,
the amount of pain you can handle is much
it's more,
is much
right?
bigger.
Your threshold,
yeah, because I understand the whole competency side of it. Because you want to take your passion to the market, you better be good, right? Because people are gonna pay for it, right? So, but the idea here is, if you are very passionate about it, what are the chances of you being not so competent? You know, it exists.
It exists.
I know a lot of people, like, you love to sing, but you cannot. Like, I can. Just saying, I'm a very good singer.
That's a very good example.
Yeah.
The singing is really...
Okay, yes. Hey, y'all never react to, I'm very good at singing.
We haven't heard you sing, so we're willing to suspend all judgment.
Okay, But the idea here is, there is a general propensity to then be able to, become generally more competent at it.
You know what's the problem?
Right.
Mm. I think the problem, if you are authentically passionate, like you're truly passionate, you cannot stop thinking about it, then yes. However, there are two other possibilities. Number one is, there are people out there who are not passionate. They have no passion. Then they are screwed, right? Or they're neutral. The second group is, their passion is like a roller coaster. Like, you know, I'm passionate about tea if I only get to do it once a month. But the minute I have to do it every day, suddenly my passion drops.
I was just about to say that. Like, you might realize when you go 100% in on your passions that it's not really, you weren't as passionate as you thought you were.
Mm.
Yeah. And that happened to me as well. Like, I love dancing. So I love singing, right?
Oh.
But same thing. I'm not kind of a singer, but I recognized it from a very early age. I think I was like 12 years old or 13 years old. Because I realized biologically, I just am not programmed to be a singer. Mm. I get sore throat way too often, more than everyone else. So it's just not possible to pursue that career. So then I started thinking, okay, what else can I do? And I like acting as well, right? You know, when you're young, you really like all the celebrity
all the
things.
Yes,
and I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to go and act. And I did act. And then
really?
I realized I did. You also made episodes like Xiao Ai Ting Ling and all this kind of
stuff. Oh my god, Ai Ting Ling!
Yeah, I was a child actor.
零三八五九八五.
It sounds familiar. I'm gonna check it out.
The 零三八五九八五. You don't know that.
No,
you're
not
saying. Oh, yes. Shout out to you, right?
You were in there.
I was. Oh,
gotta go dig out the episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna dig out the episode. Yes.
I don't think you can recognize me, but you can try.
Please, sir.
Go and fight. Yeah.
Yeah. What I realized was, again, at a fairly early age, I have acne-prone skin. And my family genetics isn't very fantastic. So a lot of us don't have very good skin. So then I realized it's very hard to be an actor, actress, if you don't have very good skin. Because you look at Fan Wenfang and Zoe Tay and all that, they're just gorgeous, you know. Mm. Whereas you look at like some, I won't name them, but you know, those that don't have as good skin.
Comedian, they end up in the CSing role.
Exactly.
They end up in the CSing.
Exactly.
They're so pain already, right?
Yeah. So then I realized, okay, I'm just not, again, biologically not programmed. So let me try something else. Then like, triple threat, let me try dancing. And then I realized again, I'm not very good at dancing. I'm good. And then I explored at one point in time, I'm like, maybe I should go and be a dance instructor. That'd be fun, right? I get to spend all my days dancing, thinking of choreography and all. But then I realized, right, when I started doing it a little bit more in school, and I took on choreography assignments, I started realizing that I didn't like it as much as I thought I did. So that was when I realized, my passion is probably like a roller coaster. I like it enough if I do it once or twice a week, but if I do it as a full-time job, then I don't think it would kill off my passion.
In other words, you can say every passion that we have a score as well. Some will be maybe a 8 upon 10, and it gives us lasting power. But some is a weekend passion, which is a 4 upon 10, but it still gives us pleasure as long as we only do it a few times.
So is there a difference between pleasure and passion then?
Yes, I think so.
Because in my worldview, there is a difference.
Very big difference. I think one is intrinsic, one is extrinsic. So pleasure will be just something that gives you that momentary high, right?
Yeah.
But passion is something that even if you have to go through a little bit of hardship to get better at it, you would be willing to do it because you enjoy the hardship. You enjoy being a master at it.
Well, I would have gone through that hardship to become a better dance instructor, but I didn't have that threshold. The levels were a bit different.
A bit,
yeah. So I think also like maybe the better point here to raise is that everyone may not know where their score is.
Yep.
It takes time to figure out. And sometimes you think, like I thought I was very passionate about dancing. I mean, in university, I was dancing 7 days a week. Yeah. How much more passionate can I get, right?
Wow.
But I realized when I went like beyond that and the 7 days became with responsibility, then I didn't like it as much anymore. But it takes time and a journey of self-awareness, self-discovery to get there. And I think the danger is if you commit too early, then you may regret it. And I know of many people in my circle, for instance, who have started out as dance instructors and they didn't follow through. Like they gave up too soon. Or like people who, you know, thought they were very passionate about yoga or Pilates and they go and spend like 5 digits to go and get certified to become an instructor. Then they don't stick with it because they realize it's not as, they weren't as passionate as they thought they were to justify that whole investment. And I mean, if you're really passionate, you get it back. Right? And I know of a banker, a very successful banker who quit her job to become a yoga instructor because she was so passionate about it. She's still doing it now. And she's making good money. But I also know of the other side of the story where people started out with it and then they gave up and they went to do something else instead that earns them better and more stable money.
No, it's because that person was a banker previously. So all her clients...
That's why. So I think
her,
also...
all her clients lie.
It comes also
let
with
me
privilege.
Teach you. Namaste.
Isn't it? Like if you have... Because she was in a career that probably had a bit more and if one was able to save or your parents to buffer you financially, then you're more ready to explore that. And the pain that you take might be lesser than someone else who doesn't have that privilege going in.
Okay. So I understand some of the pointers, but I feel like we are a bit scattered in our definition of like passion and like profession, right? Maybe we can start with that. How do you define something as a passion? You know, or like what are some intrinsic ideas?
I have one. I have a very strong indication. It's like when you are doing that particular activity, time disappears. There's a book that called Flow. So when you're in flow state, time just stands still. Like when you're maybe do your tea or you're singing, suddenly you realize 5 hours is gone. I would say that is a very, very strong indicator that you're really passionate about what you do.
I would say 1 hour really quite good already. These days, attention is quite hard, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so five hours is like half a day gone is not...
Yeah.
You know what
so
I mean?
Time. So I'll say when you're in flow state,
okay.
I think, and at the end of the activity, you actually feel really good about it.
Okay.
You feel positive emotions. Okay. I would say that is a fair
indicator
way
that
indicator.
This is something
okay, but
if
we use time as a judgment and I just apply it on myself, right? Then I can write for 5 to 6 hours because you just sitting there just using my hand.
Yeah.
Not easy, huh? But I can't sing for 5 to 6 hours and I can't dance for 5 to 6 hours because it's a physical thing and the body has limits. So then time may not be very good.
That's a good indication, right? That the passion
you score,
out,
you know.
Yeah, your passion score maybe is a bit lower. It's a enjoyable activity, but I may not say that you are passionate about it.
No, but if you think about it, that's physical limitation. Mm. But you max out, even more than, technically it's more than 5 hours. You know what I mean? Like 5 hours sounds like the idea here is the idea here is not the absolute hours, right? The idea here is how much time you spend in that state.
But
if you do your dance and everything, you max all the way to the end. You know
but
I mean?
It depends also. That,
you go
that
beyond
this
max.
5 hours, is it excruciating 5 hours or is like, the 5 hours just disappear?
It disappears.
Okay. Yeah. Then
so
you're
quite passionate about
it. Passion.
Then you are
so
passionate.
So then in a case like mine where you have multiple passions, then
nothing wrong with that.
It's okay.
Very healthy for a person to have a portfolio of passion.
So how do you then choose which passion to become a profession?
So that's where the Venn diagram comes in. Yeah. Number one is, actually a few things. So number one is, does this passion have staying power? So stretch it, right? Keep spending more time doing it. And does time still flow? Do you still enjoy it? If you have, then it's an indication, right? Then number two is that, then take a look at, are you good at it, lor? Get people to judge it and show people who are in the profession. That's the second one. The third one, then just look at a market and see what are the higher paying jobs and see if you can match.
I think that's why at the end of the day, it's really about a balance, right? Mm. Like people tend to think that pursuing your passion means you're 100% passionate about it. You just go for it.
Yeah.
But no, it's really a blend of all these three factors. Does the world value it? Are you competent enough to stay and become even more competent?
Right.
And then do you like it enough to sustain?
And one more. Are we sustaining our passion too? Because if we don't keep sustaining that passion, because we are kind of assuming that the passion is always going to be there. But if you don't sustain that passion, you will run out eventually. Even if you are 8 upon 10, but you don't take care and protect and nurture and groom that passion, it will run out.
But if passion is truly intrinsic, then why do you need to protect and groom it? Wouldn't it just be something that, you know, it's like a fire in you, right?
True. But
the thing is, I know what you're saying.
But fire means you need fuel, right? So the fuel is the time spent doing activity, okay. The mastery of it.
Yeah. So I get that. I also get that as like metaphorical, right? Mm. But the idea here is, I think, firstly, there are a few facets, right? Firstly, we cannot assume that you will not discover new passions.
Mm. Mm,
of course.
Right? You cannot assume that. Because I think we, along our lives, we always discover new things.
Yeah, we evolve.
We discover new passions. So, I mean, what you were passionate in the past, you know, it's no longer as passionate today. And you pick up new things, right? Mm. It can be for a myriad of reasons. It can be because you found something even more interesting. You know, or it's like playing a game, right? Like, you're so good at the game, then it's like a bit sian already, lor. You know, or you max out at the level that you play at, and to go further, the leap is huge, and then you don't want to continue, you make a choice, and then okay, then that's it, right? Or sometimes you just realize newer things that are more interesting lah, to you, right? So different facets of your life, or it could even be like you're injured and you can't dance anymore, and you have to, you know, by extension of the scenario, find a new passion, right? So I
think, why then you go into teaching.
Yeah lah, yeah, then you know, so.
That's how that you can't, if you teach, you can't do, you can teach come yeah, about, right? Yeah,
exactly, right? So I think the broad idea of passion is there, you know, and we have on some level established how do you then decide whether it's a profession, whether you can turn it into a profession. It cannot just be unique to you. It has to go beyond you and just kind of look at where the market is. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so far. I have an interesting case study. So I have a friend of mine who is a chef, right, for a while. And the reason why he became a chef, yeah, you know where the story goes. So for a while, because he was passionate about cooking since young, he was always cooked for his family, he enjoys it. And then someone said, hey, since you love cooking and you're good at it, why not make a profession out of
that
it?
That is so dangerous. That's exactly why I wanted to talk about this topic.
So he started making a profession out of it, and he started to realize that there are other parts of being a chef that he doesn't like.
Mm.
The P&L statements, the marketing. There are many things to run a restaurant, right? So all that kills his passion.
But he could just be a chef and not be a boss. Which means
don't be an entrepreneur. Because being an entrepreneur means you got to do everything
else. But he can still be a professional chef, just a professional hired chef.
So that's something I think we need to all take note of, which is when we say that, okay, you can make your passion a profession, right? Do think about what are the other aspects of the profession that might eat into your passion.
But people may not know this until they make it a profession.
So talk to people who are already in it. Because you know, this confirmation bias thing is that the minute you're passionate about something, you have a halo effect. Everything seems great.
Love is blind. Yeah. Passion is blind too.
Uh-huh. Yo, good one. Yeah,
spotting that. TikTok viral at that you...
So I think a very smart, wise thing to do is that if, let's say, you're passionate about maybe being a teacher because you love teaching and you're good at it, go talk to teachers and tell the teachers to share with you all their nightmares, all the worst things that happen, and see whether after listening to all the bad stories, are you still willing to give it a try?
Caveat, if you can actually deal with that nightmare, but because you were delivered it too early, too soon in that stage, you freak out and then you don't even bother going it.
Well, possible. Then it depends on your ability to take risk and how badly do you want
to
leave your day job.
Experience the pain in order to. It's like, for example, if you want to learn how to ride a bike and you talk to people and they're like, "Wow, when I fall down, you look at my freaking keloid, I fell down." And like, then you're like, I don't want a scar like Donna. Mm-hmm. I just won't cycle.
But isn't that a true test of passion then? Because part of you being passionate is that you're willing to take the risk,
but you may
to pay
not
the
know
price.
For my writing career, right? If I was told right from the start that writing can be there's so many aspects of writing whereby the liaison with clients, for instance, would be so difficult, or like I would end up fighting with clients on almost 80% of every campaign that I take on because clients want to take up this and I insist on having this, and then like there's gonna be cases whereby they just don't want and I'm like, okay, fine, then I'll just publish it my way, right? And then that happens and I don't get paid for the work. Correct. If people told me that right from the start, I may not have gone down this path.
Yeah,
but it was something that I learned over time, like probably in my fifth year of writing and earning from it. Then I realized, wow, siala.
Yeah.
I guess it's
I can deal.
Remember one episode that we did was The Truth Hurts? Right? Yeah. So I guess then it depends on you. Like, you know, do you want to let the truth unfold or do you prefer to know it upfront and then make a conscious decision?
I think if someone has the privilege of trying it first, I think that everyone should try.
Test it lah.
I think everyone should try. Yes,
experience
yes.
is better when you risk do it yourself.
Way, right? Yeah, but don't quit your job to you know.
And that would be considered a risk managed way, right?
Yeah.
But if you bring your expenses much below and then you don't really need a lot of income, then it's also a way
to
go about
it. My life story is a case in point, right? I was a computer science by major and I was a computer scientist for a while and I hate being a programmer. But the salary was good and I really wanted to quit because I think that I was passionate about teaching and I was good at it. But my mentor was wise. He said, Eric, don't quit your job. Just do it as a
side hustle.
So he said that do it from 9 to 12. That means 6 p.m. to 12 a.m., right? Just do it then. The minute the money that you make at your side hustle is
crosses over to your
salary for 6 months. You're ready.
Yeah.
So I thought that's a good milestone. Yeah, for those of you who are risk adverse.
Yeah, I think that's risk adjusted, right? Essentially,
correct.
Essentially, that's
if you have extra money in the bank, then okay lah. Then
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But otherwise, that's usually how the most of us would do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So if someone were to pursue it into a profession, right? So let's say like writing, right? Someone love to write, you know, I always write all these things and then suddenly got clients come in and then, you know, naturally became like, okay, this thing looks viable. So it's not a random someone just want to be a profession. Okay, there's some signs already and they take up the profession. What if their passion go off in the midst of that profession? Mm. Because that is so common.
Yeah, the roller coaster thing.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you deal when this thing becomes a profession and everybody tell you, wow, it's your 梦想, you know, life's so good for you, right? But then actually deep down inside, you'll be like, wow, this thing is getting damn boring. Yep. How do you manage this thing?
Yep. I think that's when it's okay when your passions change to then apply the same concept and do your new passion as a side hustle until that becomes your full thing.
So to you, it's an endless cycle.
It could be.
In
that
sense. So if writing becomes a profession and the passion just fade out already, no more, 找不到, finish already, then you will find a new passion.
It's a transition period.
And then it transits.
Your passion now becomes your profession and you're competent at it, right? Mm. Now you're in the stage where that brings in the money.
Yeah, right?
With the moolah, are you going to say no to the moolah or can you continue with that first? Mm. And then explore something else that will make up for the pleasure that you seek. Until the point where that can now be monetized and then you switch over.
Which is why I think there are people out there listening to us, right, that has a different thinking point, which is that we don't have to make our passion our profession. We rather keep things separate.
Yes.
That our profession is, don't put our emotions into our profession. We're good at it. We do our job 9 to 5, make the money so that money that I have allows me to nurture my passion because I want to keep things separate.
Yeah.
So again, there's no right or wrong. It really depends on, do we like to merge both worlds
If you come from that view, right, then you don't need to go through Dawn's roller coaster, you know.
No need.
Because that is a roller coaster, right? You just do whatever, become a profession. It's like, very sian, pick up a new passion. And then the passion become a profession. Very sian, pick up a new passion.
That life will be a roller coaster life already. But if you want more stability, then is no, let's not get too emotional. Profession is profession. Just make a lot of money, climb the ladder. Then my weekends and my evenings are for me to nurture my passions. Some people do actually want to protect because they know how passion can be killed by profession.
So what if there are a bunch of people that want to keep their passion as a profession but also see their passion dwindling after it becomes a profession?
Can you refuel?
Is there a way to like bring it back?
I think it's like love. I always believe that love is an action.
Love can bring it back, man.
Yes, I believe love is an action.
Why not?
So, oh, wow.
when you actually
Ministry of Family execute, and Social Services.
When you execute actions of love to your loved one, you start to feel the feelings of love. So I would talk to the people who feel that your passion is dwindling. Unfortunately, your passion is your profession and you're kind of worried. go back to first love. Like, think about how do you even fall in love with your passion in the first place? Sometimes the reason why your passion gets dwindled is because of the stress of making money that's killing the passion.
Fair.
So do that. That's one. I think just now I had a thought.
Or the other aspect, like your chef story.
Yeah.
Maybe what they need to do then is to take a step back and let other people outsource.
Yeah. Well said. Outsource the part, especially you're an entrepreneur. Outsource the part that's actually killing your, attacking your passion. Because I think you cannot assume that your passion will always be there. I think that's the problem. Like how we always assume that love will always be there. No, love always needs to be nurtured. Passion always needs to be nurtured. So even if your passion is your profession, you need to continue nurturing it, expand on it, so that you will always have wealth of energy and motivation to do what you do.
Actually, we should have brought the Woke Ceremony on this episode. Because that's exactly recently what happened to them, right? They went from passion as a side hustle to a profession at a point where the money crossed over and was okay for both of them to quit their job. Although I think they did it slightly before that tipping point. And then when they did it, they realized they didn't like it as much as they thought they did because they like creating content but not the entrepreneurial part of it.
Yeah, and the stress of now having to, you know how when money is in the picture, right? Sometimes it kills the creativity.
It does.
Because I remember Ling Junjie, in one of his concerts that he actually shared in 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he shared this concert that said that, do you know that there was a period of time, it was the darkest period of my time. I lost my voice. I thought my career is going to tank. And I realized, and I analyzed and I realized that the reason is because I write songs commercially. I was just writing for the public because public wants this kind of song, I write it. And I lost myself. I lost my creativity. And that was what caused him to be in a dark zone. And that was what inspired him to write 不为谁写的歌.
That's his song. That song.
I love that song. That was his turning point of his career. That he decided, no, you know what? If you are my fan, you will support me in whatever I create, right? And I'm going to create what I want that brings back my first love. And that was how the song was written. So I will always forget, always remember what he said. And I think you got to protect your passion like a fire. It does burn out and you need to keep putting fuel because the stress is water. The people that ruin your passion is water as well. So it's normal. But you just protect your fire. As long as the fire is hotter than the water, then your passion will still continue.
Yeah. And I think outsourcing shouldn't be looked down upon.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, like the focus on your genius zone. What they did was they hired an account manager to take out the most painful part, which was dealing with clients.
So that they can protect and do the
Then they can go in their zone and really like focus and get back that whole, you know, inspiration and creativity, which was being killed by external factors.
It's true.
But so while we are at it, I want to caution everybody watching this. I tell you, remember, Reggie, you said that, oh, there are a lot of now people talking about how you can turn your passion into profits. These are marketers. Sometimes I really think marketers ruin things. Because
every time you say the same thing.
That is true. That's true.
And I have to say it.
Are you guilty?
No, I'm not guilty because that's not my narrative. I never have asked people to turn their passion into profits.
No, you train marketers.
No, I don't. I train agents.
Aren't you a marketer, so you market yourself?
We are all marketers. But the thing is that... we are selling this episode too, right? But I'm talking about those people out there who's selling those programs called Turning Profits.
I know what you mean.
Turning Passion to Profits. It sounds good, you know why? And you know who will buy? It's the people who are unhappy. It's the people who hate their job. Obviously, by telling you that you can do something you love, I'm selling you a dream. But the reality is, do you even have a passion? The other reality is, are you good at your passion?
If you want to go for this kind of course, how much is that cost? 3,000, 4,000?
I
teach you how to save the money, okay. Budget-based speaking.
Yes, please, tell us.
Just go and spend that time. You buy 3 people dinner, okay? 3 people who are in that career, and then to get the most pure and the most unfiltered one, you listen to all of it. Then you also talk to them. What is the audience like? How do you find people to pay you and all? And you probably spend maximum like $300, one-tenth of the cost. Then you can, you know, sponsor a bit of our next episode next time to pay.
Super light or something. I think we're going to unlock the future.
And must take action also. It means after they get the advice, they try out for maybe 3 months. If they cannot even try out for 3 months using their after work period, forget about doing it full time.
Yeah. That's a good gauge. Although I think three months a bit short. Maybe give some people need a bit more time. Maybe 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
I wrote on my blog for 2 years before I got the first paycheck.
Did you get burnout then?
I think I was lucky in a sense whereby I really like writing. Right from the start. It was one of my earlier childhood passions. I just never thought I'll be very good at it. So I gave up halfway. And that came because when I say you're delivered some things too early, right? I had a lot of childhood passions. Fickle-minded. But writing was one of them. And when I was in, I think sec two. okay, secondary two or 14 years old for those of you who might be overseas listeners, I had this opportunity to go for a writing course in my school where only like the elite gets to go. Wow. And at the end of it, if you, as long as you complete your story and there were like people teaching you, helping to edit and all, you would get your book published.
Nice.
So you could choose any idea, any topic, any storyline, anything unfiltered. It's all up to you. The only catch is you must complete it. And out of that class, I think there was like 20 of us across different schools. So there were like Raffles and all the good and neighborhood schools all mixed, lah, right? And I think only like 5 of us completed it. So there was a very big failure rate. Maybe that says a bit about, you know,
other people's passions. Your passion is being tested.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I was one of the 5 who completed it.
Wow. Congrats.
But it was painful. And then like after I read my story, I was very proud of it the first time around. And maybe because it's my own words. And it's quite long. It was like this thick. And for a secondary school kid, that's a lot.
Very long, yes.
It took me very long to write it. I think by the 5th read, I was starting to get bored of my own story. Yeah, and I was like, actually, my story is very cliche. If I could redo it, I'll probably do it differently. Mm. And then that killed off whatever passion I had for writing until it was rekindled much, much later. Again in university. Yeah.
What rekindled it?
In university, I was studying communications, right? So we had a lot of writing. Yeah. Again, I hated the journalism part because when you write by SPH standard, and then my lecturer was also ex-SPH chief editor. So she was very harsh. Like, oh, your level of English, my primary one kid also better. If you guys were taught by her, I'm sure, you know, fellow alumni and peers, you might recognize.
Comment section.
Yeah, but
below.
She was very harsh. And it killed. You know, when you get comment that harsh, you get killed off.
Yeah,
but then after that, I took another module where the teachers weren't as harsh and there was a lot more flexibility and freedom. And that's when I realized like, hey, maybe I can use my writing in different ways. I don't have to be a journalist because people think that writing, that's one of the more obvious choices, right? But then I realized, hey, actually, advertising also is writing. Like, copywriter, like writer,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And then like, although I used to copy me, copy from someone else, but apparently not. Like,
no.
Then, or you can be also an account manager or press release writer, also writing ma. But it's not an immediate thing. If you are someone who are new and you love writing and you want to explore profession out of it, how many people can actually know that writing has this copywriter, has this press release? You don't know, man. These
time.
Are other professions that
inside.
Don't come.
Yeah.
Exactly, you have to be in it. Then you realize that these are other aspects of the profession that you also can explore. So then when I discovered that, then I started to get back my love of writing. Because now I could write in other ways that I still enjoy without the journalist news way that
Why
totally
do I feel like
me.
Your lecturer is Bertha Hansen?
No, it's not. Someone harsh.
Yeah, even worse. Okay. Shout out to you. Don't attack us. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Fair. Very interesting.
I'm just trying to integrate everything that we said, right? Because initially we talk about like how do you nurture passion. So it seems like all of us have a dollop of passion. A starting portfolio could be 4 points or 5 points, and when that passion feeds you back some pleasure and some positive emotions. It's part of nurturing the passion. But actually, the next step of nurturing your passion is when you get positive feedback about your passion. Like, you see, in your case, right, your passion got killed the minute someone say you suck. But the minute someone nurtures you and say, hey, you're good, keep working at it, that positivity or that positive feedback allows you to want to work on a passion. So so how do you know whether you're passionate about something is, first of all, you enjoy
feedback,
it.
Right?
And number two is that you're starting to get some feedback that you are good at it. And that you're willing to get better at it. That means there's progression in your passion. That passion gets nurtured.
Like your chef friend also, like, because people told him that he was a good chef. That's why he went
into it. He nurtures
it.
But and if you have, and then on top of that is he needs to keep testing and experimenting and growing. Because that was what makes him passionate. He was very passionate about trying different types of food, putting together, see something new comes up. But he stopped doing that when he became an entrepreneur because he's supposed to only cook 5 types of food. So if you understand
lean menu,
because cheaper. So if you understand what is it that makes you passionate, keep doing it while shielding yourself from things that might kill your passion, like criticism or the stress of having to make money.
No, and I think that is why a lot of people they always end up saying that, oh, I would like to give thanks to this mentor of mine or this coach of mine, because a lot of these people that teach you or train you, you know, in this process, they can make or break your career, you know, on many fronts.
Yeah.
So sometimes,
so
right, I feel like, sometimes I struggle with telling the person you should stop. You know, it's like, because objectively, I come from, I'm the senior in the space, right? I know like, you're too far from it, right? And then like, should I tell you to stop? but this person very passionate, wow. Not very competent, very hard to monetize one.
Then you should turn it into make him go the side hustle
route. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Then people are just not good at it and they don't recognize that they're not competent at all.
But yeah, I envy them sometimes. Isn't it nice to have this positive feeling?
It's true. That's the thing. I agree with you. You know, but that's a different podcast. But you know what I'm saying, right? It's like as a mentor, because you're 10, 20 years in the business already, you know, or in the space, in the career, you look at this person, it's like, maybe you're better suited elsewhere. But should you kill them here?
I think we will always try to give them, because
I will not kill the person, but I will tell them maybe you shouldn't pursue this.
Let the test be that guy, not us.
You're very harsh. What you tell them? Do these five things. Difficult, and if they can, your threshold is good enough to cross all the tests, then maybe you should get another chance.
Recently, I've been looking for trainers and we're giving jobs, right? And people always tell me, oh, I'm very passionate about training. It's so easy to say you're passionate. So we always put them to a test. I want in these next 6 months, you go and do 5-10 free training for me. Tell me you're passionate. If you're not even willing to do I need to get paid, then you're not passionate about training. You're passionate about the money that you get to make being a trainer. That's different.
No, that one is a different discussion. Yeah. We can have that. But I know, you get my point, because you are the one setting the game. To you, that's the parameter of how you define it.
Yeah.
You test it. Yeah.
I want to raise a different route. Okay. Yeah. Mm. So I think we're also here today because time has become so important. And in a society that really values productivity and efficiency, is it that we're feeling all this pressure to monetize our passion as well? Because then we think, well, if I just do it to de-stress and get pleasure, then it's a waste of time. I might as well milk everything and every hour that I spend doing something.
I don't think so. I think it's because people are not enjoying their current work. And the work is giving them anxiety, stress, burnt out. And so the alternative is, since my passion has been giving me a lot of pleasure, why not I do more of my passion? I felt it's more of that.
But there are also some people whereby they have started out certain side hustles because it was a passion that they were passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then you see them give up, right?
Which is not a bad thing.
I know a lot of
but
these
why people. I've seen many people, whether like they open up weekend stores, you know, or like a barista on the weekend, you know, like pop-ups, you know, or like home-based whatever business, right? It's so common. And I think I will not hold them to the standard of not giving up. To me, they're just trying. You know, it's like you have based on that story that you frame, right? That means the person don't hate their profession, right? Like currently their full-time job
they're okay with it.
It's not like an outlet. You know, it's like, not bad, man, quite fun, you know. Then like couple do together, then end up break up, right? And you know, you know, start a business with your partner is a different discussion, right? But you know, so then they go and do it together. And then if it works, great, let's continue. If it doesn't work, okay, cool, let's close shop. It's fine. And I think people take it, if they can take it with that kind of tenacity and the way to look at it, you know, to be able to detach yourself and just shrink it back to a...
There's nothing wrong with being passionate about something and wanting to monetize it time is money as well. But if you're not, it gets to a stage whereby you can monetize just based on your close friend. Your closer inner circle. So it's just word of mouth. It's just around a certain group, and then you just limit how many orders you take in and develop, and you just don't go beyond that so that the passion doesn't die.
You don't scale.
And then it's all fine. You can charge cheaper prices because these are your friends and family. You don't feel that pressure. You'll be like, as long as I get back like my ingredients cost, I'm good. Or my ingredient cost and a little more. You won't be thinking of like, bakers, I need 30% profit margins and all
really
of that.
It's really just passion. But if you're going to turn your passion into business, you cannot think that way. Yeah. Which is why a lot of businesses die, because eventually their passion becomes their biggest enemy.
It's a very dangerous space to enter.
One thing that I like, and if I look back in my own life, I think I'm quite blessed in the sense that a lot of things that happen have actually helped me to get on a good path sooner rather than later. And I think one of that was really the fact that I got to try out internships that had me testing really whether I was really passionate about it. So my very first internship was with a PR firm. I was doing so much writing there. And I think the average person would be sick of how much writing I had to do. I was writing speeches, you know, and all the press releases and so many pitch emails to like media outlets trying to get coverage from my clients and all. And I did on projects like 3M and Pet Lover Center and all these kind of stuff. And I was just writing so much and even creating like a magazine. But I didn't hate it. Then I realized, mm-hmm. actually, okay, like, not bad. Like, I can continue doing it. Right. But then I wanted to explore other writing careers, right? So when I was like, oh, there's also copywriter. That was when I started to realize. So like, let me try my next internship at a copywriting firm. So I tried the advertising firm, one of the biggest in the scene as well. And while I didn't get the role of a copywriter, and I'm very sian about it, but I got to interact with copywriters, right? And I had lunches with them. I got to talk to them. And then I got to see them talk about like, yeah, you know, sometimes writer block, wow, I hate it. And then like I walk past the office and I see them just staring at a screen blankly, trying to figure out, then give up and just walk off and stuff. So then I thought and like, maybe that's not for me. Right? And I started realizing it. Because I did these internships, I think it helped me to realize what threshold and which direction sooner rather than later. Mm. Yeah. And that's a good chance for people to try it out. Today, unfortunately, I think the idea of internships outside of school, people are quite averse to it, right? They're like, no, internships are only for school. Once I get out, I must like full-fledged. But I think if your journey, you need more steps to get to your destination versus other people. Don't think there's anything wrong with doing a little bit more internships or taking a lower paid job. Like someone who really likes podcasting, you want to test out your threshold, come and podcast with Reggie and see whether you can tahan it. You know, even if he can't pay you as high as, let's say, being a radio DJ or anything, but if you can tahan that and realize that your threshold is there, then you can go and explore. And doesn't this sound like you do have a real life DJ also, right?
Yeah. Anyway, show. Just saying, part-time DJs don't get paid much. So I can tell you the rate, DM me, okay? Oh, yeah. Only the full-fledged guys get paid, seriously. Yeah. Okay. You learn what was one closing lesson? I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, I think first of all, have a portfolio of passion simply just to increase the quality of your life. Like, it would be quite sad if you are neutral about everything. And the way to have a portfolio of passion is to really just experiment and try. Don't say no to activities. Just be open to trying different things and start observing which one you enjoy. And then once you have a portfolio, you can then start having the conversation about, can I actually turn one of it into a profession with all the factors that we talked to you about? Mm. Then I think life will be amazing for you.
Mm.
Fair. I think for me, I am quite the kind of person that would just go with it and just do it.
Yeah, that's your life story,
I'm very like, just go lah, just do with it lah.
It's his life story.
Yeah, just go, right? So,
okay, can I be a singer?
But it's eventually you have to wake up, right? At some point, you got to realize that, okay, you know, this is maybe not going to work, right? You begin with a place of like passion, of interest, of pleasure, whatever you want to, you know, whatever like airy fairy ideas, broadly, what it encompasses is you like the thing, okay? Or you like it enough to even entertain, like, I'm going to do this every day, right? And I hope to make money out of it, right? So, and when you do it, you will know whether or not this thing can make money, whether or not you really can do it for prolong, which is why I stopped working with newbies. Because every newbie come in and tell me, I love this. No lah, you do 20 episodes first and you come back and talk to me. Because 20 episodes in, I will know whether you can still do it, whether or not you actually really like it.
The staying power.
Yeah, whether or not, you know, during hard times, you will stay around. Yeah, essentially, and that is much needed in a profession. You have horrible days, you know, and then you must be able to, during the horrible days, be like, okay, I need to breathe. 2 days later, you come back, it's like, yeah, I feel like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's
I think taking a step back to bring yourself out of the situation and rekindle, find back the reasons why you liked it in the first place really helps. I have period like that as well where I just stop taking on client gigs and just write what I want to write. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I will resume.
Rekindle
that fire.
This whole thing here is why I started. Yeah. Wise and Shine. Because I was sick and tired of talking about personal finance. I was the same shit, right? Client come always ask me the same thing. I was like, I got edgy ideas. You're not interested to cover, you know? So. I'm glad we are doing this. It kept me going.
I'm glad.
Nice. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.